De nuevo con ustedes, amigos, en el show de Gloria Cárdenas. 801-656-9605. 801-656-9605. El teléfono de Gloria Cárdenas. Sígala en Twitter o en Instagram como FA Inmigration. Más información en familiaamerica.com. La oficina está en Taylorsville. Pero haga su cita al 801-656-9605. Hoy hablando de las visas fiance o de la fiance visa, la K-1. Y preguntas interesantes le hemos estado haciendo a Gloria acerca de qué se puede y qué no se puede. Y en el último segmento nos decía que no se puede transferir, no es transferible. Si usted entró a este país con una K-1, una visa fiance, y en los 90 días que le da el gobierno para que se case con esa persona, decide no hacerlo y decide buscar o aparece otro americano, otra americana, no se vale, no se puede, no se puede. Ahora, now, Gloria.
Sí.
What happened if, let's say that the K-1 fiance,
yep,
has babies, has children, children's, can be them included in this petition?
Yes, they're called K-2s, but they have to be unmarried children and under 21. Oh. So they could be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. But they cannot be Mary. 21 or older. Okay? They cannot be 21 or older. And they cannot be married. So let's say they're 18 and they're married. They're under 21, but they're married. So they don't get to be included. And people get married at 18.
Yeah,
people get married at 19. People get married at 20. But those people, those children cannot be included. They have to be under 21 and unmarried.
Muy bien, entonces la pregunta para Gloria era que si el prometido o la prometida tiene bebés, tiene niños pequeños, que si pueden estos ser incluidos en la petición. Y dice Gloria que sí, que hay un tipo de visa para ellos, pero hay dos condiciones. Tienen que ser menores de 21 años y no tienen que estar casados. Ellos pueden tener 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 20 años, y si no están casados, they are fine. Pero si ellos tienen 12 años, 14 años, 15 años y están casados, no aplica, porque la condición es menor de 21 y no casados.
Right, and so those children, so let's say the children come into the United States, mm-hmm, with the K-1 fiance, with the mom or dad, and they come into the United States. They can also apply for their green card after their parents, the mom and their dad, marry.
Okay.
However, they have to still be unmarried at the time that they file for their green card. They still have to be unmarried. We're talking about the children.
Oh.
The children cannot be married
until
they get their green card. Okay? So let's say they come in with mom and dad. Uh-huh. Let's just say they come in the United States with mom.
Okay.
Okay? She's 18. Okay, the daughter comes to the United States on the K-2 visa. Then it takes her a few years to file for her green card. But she falls in love and she gets married. She's not able to get her green card through the fiancé process.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
Nothing new for me.
They can't get married. Now, they may be all, if they married a U.S. citizen, their U.S. citizen can apply for them. But in a separate thing.
Process.
It's not like they can never get their green card. It's just that they, in order to get their green card through the fiancé process, they have to be still unmarried and they have to have entered the United States before they turn 21, right?
Okay.
So let's just say someone petitions for me and I have a 20-year-old child, okay? Uh-huh. And we get everything approved, but then I wait too long and my daughter turns 21 and then we try and come to the United States. They can't, they have to be under 21 at the time they come to the United States.
Y todo es cuestión de tiempo y aquí Gloria nos explica con detalle los diferentes escenarios. Por ejemplo, dice de que si una, primero, el primer caso, si viene la persona, la prometida o el prometido, y tiene una hija de 18 años, y mientras están acá en los Estados Unidos esperando el proceso, porque ellos vienen con la visa K-2, si, mientras están esperando el proceso para la residencia de esta joven de 18 años, ella se enamora y se casa con alguien acá en este país, con otro ciudadano, entonces tiene que comenzar su proceso de petición a través de ese evento, de ese matrimonio, no a través de la petición de su papá o su mamá que vino a este país a casarse acá.
Exactly.
Tiene que ser un proceso aparte, diferente. O el otro escenario de que ya está su papá o su mamá lista para venirse a los Estados Unidos con la visa fiancé y ya viene y tiene un hijo que tiene menos de 21 años, tiene 20 años y ya a punto de cumplir los 21 años. Y se tarda en venir acá a los Estados Unidos. Y cuando, al momento que ingresa con sus hijos, que ya viene para casarse, en ese lapso de 90 días, su hijo ya tiene más de 21 años, o ya cumplió los 21 años, ya no es válido.
Right, at that time, they can't come into the United States after 21 and file for their green card. Because the bottom line is, the government just thinks if you're 21, you're an adult. Okay. Does that make sense?
Sí.
They think, okay, well, you're not a child anymore. Like, why should you get your green card through the fiancé visa of your parent when you're an adult? You see what I'm saying?
Sí. Entonces, básicamente, por eso es de que el gobierno tiene estos puntos, porque lógicamente, si estamos hablando de un joven de 18 años, estamos hablando ya de una persona que ya está adulta. Ya es adulta, entonces right. Ya es diferente. Si en dado caso esta persona adulta se enamora o se casa con alguien en los Estados Unidos.
I always tell my clients this. Look it, if you want to do this fiancé visa process and the kids are getting older and older, 18, 19, 20, you better get working fast. Because it takes a long time and we don't want the child to be cut out of the process because they either marry or they're over 21. Does that make sense? You have to be careful. It makes sense when they're younger, right?
Yeah.
3, 4, 5, 10. But when you get that up in those ages, you really have to move and
right.
Make decision quickly and have a lawyer that works efficiently and quickly to make this process happen. So the other thing I want to talk to is same-sex marriage cases, why the fiancé visa can be so helpful.
A ver, okay.
Okay, so there are countries where you cannot get married if you're in a same-sex relationship.
Okay.
Okay? They don't allow it.
Okay, entonces dice Gloria que además quiere tocar el tema de los matrimonios del mismo sexo y a ver cómo funciona la visa de fiancé con este tipo de matrimonios. Y dice Gloria que hay países donde no es aceptado todavía este tipo de relaciones o este tipo de matrimonios.
Okay, so for example, Christine is a U.S. citizen and her girlfriend Alethea lives in the Philippines.
Okay.
So they meet online 2 years ago and Christine has traveled many times to the Philippines to visit Alethea. So they plan to get married and live together in the United States. However, same-sex marriage is not legal in the Philippines. So they can't get married there. So therefore, and of course in the United States you can. It's a law that you can have same-sex marriage. So in that situation, the fiancé visa is really great. It's their only option. It's not only great, but it's only because they cannot get married in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
So the U.S. citizen, Christina, applies for the fiancé visa for Alethea, and then she comes to the United States, and then they marry here legally in the United States. You see how the fiancé visa is really oftentimes the only option for somebody, especially if they're living in a country where they don't recognize same-sex marriage.
A ver, y Gloria nos da un excelente ejemplo acá con Cristina y Alicia. Dice, Cristina es una ciudadana de los Estados Unidos y su novia, Alicia, vive en las Filipinas. Se conocieron hace 2 años por internet. Cristina ha ido bastantes veces a visitar a Alicia en las Filipinas y ellas tienen en mente casarse y vivir juntas acá en los Estados Unidos. Pero el matrimonio del mismo sexo no es algo legal en las Filipinas todavía. Entonces, para este tipo de casos, la visa de fiancé funciona a la perfección porque ella puede hacer la petición por Alicia, traerla a los Estados Unidos y luego acá casarse sin ningún problema.
Exactly. So that helps a lot of people, right? But let's just say, Nelson,
uh-huh.
That let's say this U.S. citizen likes to petition for fiancés, and sometimes it doesn't work out, and then he or she starts over. Can they apply for more than one fiancé visa, do you think?
Oh.
Right? Okay, so
ese escenario está interesante. O sea, el escenario que trae a mención, Gloria, de que qué pasa si alguien le gusta tener muchas novias y ya hizo una aplicación para una fiancé visa y luego no se casó.
Right.
Y luego va de viaje otra vez y consigue otra novia en otro país y hace otra petición. ¿Es válido eso?
Well, that's a good question. So there's this law. It's called the International Marriage Broker Regulation Act. IMBRA. That says that the fiancé, before coming to the United States, the fiancé, the person that is applying for the K-1, mm-hmm. has to be informed by the U.S. government of other K petitions that the fiancé has applied for, right? Oh. So let's say I live in Argentina and I fall in love with someone. How am I going to know if the U.S. citizen has applied for somebody else, had come to the United States, it didn't work out? So there is a law that I, the person in Argentina, I get to know how many, if they've ever applied for somebody else. And that's just to make sure there's not a lot of marriage fraud and make sure that the foreign national, the person that's living in Argentina, is aware of what may be the history of this person that they're going to...
Oh, interesante.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, interesante.
So they're notified.
Muy bien, entonces dice Gloria, a ver si me acuerdo bien, hay un International Marriage Broker Regulation Act, o sea que hay una función legal que provee la información al prometido o prometida acerca de la persona que está haciendo la petición, si esta persona ha hecho otro tipo de peticiones similares a esta en el pasado o previas a la que está haciendo en ese momento. Es parte de la ley que se notifique a esta persona prometido o prometida que va a venir a los Estados Unidos, que sepa el pasado en cuanto a peticiones de prometido o prometida de la persona que la está trayendo, que
right.
sepa de qué se trata, que
okay.
sepa cuántas veces ha pedido la mano.
Exactly. Now there's also and that's a great law, by the way, because how are they going to know?
Yeah.
If I live outside the United States, how am I really going to know what their history is? So here's another great law.
A ver.
So if the petitioner, right, the U.S. citizen mm-hmm. for the K-1 visa, has filed two or more K-1 petitions at any time, so two or more, mm-hmm. the person, the fiancé, the one that's living, the foreign national, has mm-hmm. to get notified, okay? But there has to be a waiver that's filed.
A waiver.
A waiver.
Wow. O si la persona que está pidiendo a su prometido o prometida ha llenado una o dos.
Two or more.
Dos o más peticiones. Si ha tenido dos strikes.
Yeah. So if you've applied
strike
twice.
One, strike two.
Yeah.
Okay.
So after you've applied two, and let's say you want to apply for the third time because
okay.
you think third time's a charm, right?
Yeah.
You have to file a waiver in order for that third petition to be filed because they want to know, is this person, what's going on here? Why?
What happened with
What's happening
this
with
guy?
The first one? What happened with the second one?
Yeah.
So there's a waiver. And you can get we're all kind of laughing thinking it's a scam, but there's a lot of people that it doesn't work out, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But the government is making you, after two times or more, if you've applied, for the third one, you're going to, and the fourth one, and the fifth one, you're going to need a waiver each time.
Sometimes it's complicated.
Yeah, it is. It's true.
Entonces,
la vida loca.
La vida loca, ya. Yeah. Entonces dice Gloria de que para aquellos que ya hicieron una petición y no se casaron, hicieron otra petición y no se casaron, y viene la tercera, hay que pedir un permiso, hay que llenar un waiver.
Yep.
Un waiver tiene que, porque lógicamente el gobierno quiere saber qué está pasando aquí,
But that remember, that's only if you file, like if they file for them. Like if they file for more than two, then they
yeah.
have to do that. But let's say they got one approved. They got one petition approved in the last 2 years. If they have one petition approved in the last 2 years, uh-huh. they also have to file a waiver before they can file. Because they're thinking, wait, it got approved, so that was a valid, you know, relationship. So there is a waiver. They'll need a waiver for that, too.
Okay, entonces dice que a veces piensan de que solamente son las peticiones aprobadas. Y no, dice lo de que petición es petición. Aprobada o no aprobada, si son más de dos, hay que llenar el waiver.
Exactly.
Ahora, now something is coming to my mind, Gloria.
Yes.
What happened with the if this guy or this lady has some criminal record?
Oh, well, so That's a very good question. And it's a good question to end with. So there is something called the Adam Walsh Child Protection and Safety Act.
I call it
the Adam Walsh Act. Everyone calls it the Adam Walsh Act.
Okay.
Now that basically says that specific crimes, if the petitioner, the U.S. citizen, has been convicted of certain crimes, the fiance and their children or anyone that's going to has to be notified before. Okay?
Oh.
So that prevents someone from, let's say somebody has been convicted of a sexual abuse of a child in the United States.
Okay?
Now, he falls in love with a beautiful woman from Italy who has a child who's 5. In this situation, the government is going to disclose the criminal record. It's a sexual abuse crime to the fiance that's living in Italy and to the child because of the danger of not knowing someone's criminal record.
He's passed.
That's not true if let's say you got a speeding ticket or you stole a piece of gum or something. We're talking about specific crimes that you would think you would want the person to know, and they're usually related to sexual abuse, sexual offenders, drug convictions, things like that are very serious, that is important, and it is the U.S. government's obligation to let the fiance be aware of before they get into the situation where they're coming to the United States, especially for the child, right? Especially for the child.
How deep are the waters?
Yeah, how deep is the water? And for that child, we're really... an adult needs to know, but very specifically, the child must know, and the mother or father of that child must know if this is a person that is someone that you want to subject your children to.
Yeah. Entonces dice Gloria, la pregunta que le hacíamos es de que si también hay algún tipo de ley que notifique a la persona que está siendo pedida como prometido o prometida. Si la persona que está haciendo la petición tiene algún tipo de récord criminal, y dice Gloria que sí, hay una ley que se llama Adam Walsh Act, que exige al gobierno notificarle al prometido o la prometida acerca de este pasado criminal sobre ciertos crímenes específicos, especialmente que tengan que ver con abuso de niños, abuso sexual, o sea, si esta persona fue encontrada convicta o culpable de este tipo de crímenes.
I think these are great. I think the ones that we've talked about now, the crime notifications, is someone's petition for many people. I think those are great laws because I think it protects the innocence.
Exactly.
The innocent, and it also protects the integrity of the whole process.
Y dice Gloria que le encantan estos dos tipos de leyes porque protegen la integridad y la inocencia de las personas que muchas veces se puede tener. Porque no se sabe con quién se viene a casar. Hay que ver cuántas veces ha pedido a alguien para que se venga a casar con él. Esa es la primera, de International Marriage Broker Regulation. Y la segunda, si esta persona tiene un récord limpio, que no tiene unos crímenes específicos que pueden ser perjudiciales o incómodos. Si esta persona, por ejemplo, ha sido convicta por un crimen de abuso sexual, entonces, y la persona que viene con a casarse con él trae un niño, entonces, para que sepa a lo que va, para lo que sepa con quién se está casando, con quién se está metiendo. Excelentes leyes. Excelente
gracias.
Show, Gloria.
Gracias.
Gracias a Gloria y gracias a ustedes, amigos. 801-656-9605. 801-656-9605. Haga su cita con Gloria Cárdenas. Ahora ya puede escuchar estos shows en familiaamerica.com, en la sección de podcast o en la sección on demand en lagrandesaltlake.com. Que todos pasen un excelente fin de semana.